Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tainis Daf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur on Daf Yud Aleph three lines from the top. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. A Nosei is the topic heading, Mivneh structural note. We have written Hanhogois Bishnei Re'ovoin. The expression Bishnei Re'ovoin means in the years of famine. How should one behave himself when there is a famine? With regard to achila, with regard to eating, how much should one eat, quantities, and tashmish, intimacy with one's wife. The Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, Kol Hamariv Atzmoi Bishnei Re'ovoin, he who famishes himself during the years of famine. Now, we're talking about someone that might very well have an ample food supply for himself, but all around him are suffering from famine. So one who participates in that which the community is suffering from, in the sense that he too restricts his intake, nitzal mi misa mishuna, he merits being saved from an unusual form of death. Now, an unusual form of death, Rashi says, any kind of death that's unusual, through being killed, murdered, starved to death, any death that's not through the angel of death, as is characteristic of one who dies in his bed, dies in his sleep, that anything other than that would be of dying in one's sleep is considered a misa mishune. Or we'll say dying on one's bed. So by participating in the public suffering, one is merits being saved from that. Shinemar, birov, through famishing oneself, podcho mimoves, that saves you from death. Meirov, the proof of the Gemara in this pasuk is meirov miboyale, elo hochi komar, the simple reading of the pasuk should have been meirov podcho mimoves, that one is saved from famine. But it says with a base. So what does the base indicate? Elohochi komar, b'schar shemariv atzmo b'shnei re'ovoin, in the merit that he starves himself during years of little, years of famine, nitzol mi misa mishuna, he is saved from the unusual form of death. Omar Reish Lakish, Osur v'odom l'shamish mitosoi b'shnei re'ovoin. Reish Lakish points out that it's forbidden to engage in intimacy with one's wife during years of famine. Shinemar, the pasuk says, regarding Yosef in Mitzrayim, and as everyone knows, that Mitzrayim had years of plenty and then suffered from years of famine. And it says, Uli Yosef yolad shnei bonim b'terem tovoi shnas harov. Unto Yosef there was born two sons before, and the emphasis here is on before, the years of famine. Hence, we conclude from here that during the years of famine, one should not be engaged in activities that might provide personal physical pleasure. Hence, one is to restrict himself from intimacy. Tana, chasuche bonim, people who do not have children, childless couples, mishamshin mitoisein b'shnei re'ovon, are entitled to engage in intimacy, in procreation, during the years of famine. Before we continue, we glance at the side, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, l'shtatef b'tzoras hatzibur, v'lo lifroish mehem, We alluded to this earlier, but it's lishtatef is to join together, like the word shutafim, to be a partner in the tzara of the tzibur, in the suffering of the community, and not to separate oneself from them. Tanu Rabbanan. You'll notice we have a rather long Tanaic source. In the course of this piece of Gemara, we will be exposed to let's correct ourselves. First, we have a relatively short Tanaic source, and then following that, you'll see a long Tanaic source. So the Gemara says, "Bizman shi Yisrael shruyin b'tzar upiresh echad mehem," at a time when the nation of Israel, when the community is amidst a suffering, and one upiresh, one separates himself from them. Bo'in shnei malachei hashoreh shemalavin lo la'adam, two service angels that accompany a person, umanichim lo yudeim al rosho, and they place their hands on his head, the oimrim, and they announce, ploni zeb shepiresh min hatzibur, this individual that has separated himself from the troubles of the community, al yu'eh b'nei chomas tzibur, he shall not see the consolation and the restoration of the community. Tanya Idach, and another brisa that opens the same way as the previous brisa. Bizman shatzibur shori b'tzar, when a community is amidst a trouble, a suffering, al yomar adam, a person shall not say, eleich lebesi v'ochal v'eshte v'shalom olecho nafshi. Well, I'm going home, I'm going to eat and drink, and peace be unto me. In other words, one shows his apathy to the troubles of the community. V'im oise kein, if a person does behave thusly, olov hakosuv oimer, v'hine soson v'simcha, horoid bokor v'shochoy tzoin, achol basor v'shosoy siyayin, achol v'shosoy ki mochor nomus. The person describes someone who says, well, tomorrow we're going to die, so we might as well eat and drink and be merry today. Maksiv basrei, what does it say following that in the psukim, there in Yeshaya Perek Chof Beis, psukim Yud Gimel, and now Yud Dalet, we continue, what does the next pasuk say? V'niglo bi'oznoi Hashem tzivokos im yichupar, he'avon hazeh elochem ad temusun. The becomes revealed to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he reacts that such sin is not worthy of forgiveness. Ad kan midas beinonim. Until this point, we have seen the characteristic, the trait of he who is a beinoni, the average kind of person. In other words, this isn't the worst type reaction. One who says, like we just saw, I might as well eat, drink, and be merry today because tomorrow we're going to die. At least he acknowledges his limitation, his finality. Avol, b'midas rishoyim maksiv. But regarding the wicked, what does it say? A soyu ekho yayin v'nisba'o shechor v'hoyo koze yoimochor. The pasuk reveals the thought of, let us take some wine and drink and become intoxicated, and as we do today, we'll continue doing tomorrow. Maksiv basrei, what does it say following that? Hatzadik ovod vein ish som alev ki mipnei horo ne'esav hatzadik. In situations like that, where there is public suffering, and a person and the attitude people have is one of, what difference does it make? Let's party today, let's party tomorrow, and no one does anything to rectify the situation. No atonement, no repentance. So the pasuk says that in cases like that, the righteous are taken away. The Almighty gathers in the righteous, they die, and no one pays attention, not realizing because of the evil or the bad, the misfortune that is going to come, the tzaddik is gathered in. Now, Rashi explains, a tzaddik ovad v'ein ish somalev. Rashi across from here, more or less, b'pnei mahu meis. Why does the righteous one die? B'pnei haro nesaf hatzaddik. Because of the evil and the misfortune that is going to happen, the tzaddik is collected in, is withdrawn from the people. Kodesh Baruch Hu calls him up to heaven, b'pnei shelo yitztayer hu baros, so that he shouldn't suffer in the misfortune that is going to befall the people. Two lines later, there's a lishna achrina Rashi has, mipnei rois shel elu, because of the wickedness of these people, hu nesaf, shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu roitze shivake shalem rachamim, the Almighty will call in the tzaddik, will have the tzaddik die, so that he is no longer there to pray for mercy on these wicked. This just goes to show you how strong and how powerful this prayer could actually be. That the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself doesn't want the tzaddik to pray, which could make a difference, so he calls in the tzaddik up to heaven. So what we've seen so far is a description of the characteristics of the Beinoni, the average type individual, the average form of apathy, where people will realize that they have finality, that they don't live, they don't go on forever, and there is what to worry about in that sense, but in the meantime, let's have a good time. No effort to pray, no effort to do tshuva, to do penitence. And then we see the characteristic of the utterly wicked, that could be in the midst of troubles, and it makes no difference to them whatsoever, to the extent that they even deny that there is any finality. Just as today we're having fun, let's have the same tomorrow. Elo, the Gemara goes on to say, Yitzayir Odom imatzibur, a person should suffer along with the public. Shekein motzinu b'Moshe Rabbeinu shitzir atzmi imatzibur. We find by Moshe Rabbeinu that he himself suffered along with the masses. And now the Gemara is going to present a pasuk which features the Klal Yisrael in the midst of war. It was a war with Amalek, and Moshe Rabbeinu was seated on some type of high location, and where he was visible to the masses. And it says, "Shenemar v'idei Moshe kvedim," the hands of Moshe were heavy. The pasuk describes the attempt of Moshe Rabbeinu to raise his hands heavenwards so as to draw people's attention, like we saw in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, to draw people's attention that the ultimate salvation is from the Almighty and not from military force. So the pasuk says that his arms became heavy. Vayikhu even vayasimu tachtov vayeshev oleha. And they brought a stone and placed it under him, and he sat on the stone. Did Moshe Rabbeinu not have a pillow or a mattress to sit on? What, he had to sit on a stone? Elokach Omar Moshe. Thusly said Moshe Rabbeinu. Hoyel, the Yisrael Shurim Bitzar, since the Jewish people are experiencing pain, af ani ehaye imoim betzar, so too I will join them in that. So though Moshe Rabbeinu had his own pillows and mattresses, he didn't want to use them. V'chol ha-metzar atzmo matzibur, anyone who does participate in the tzar of the tzibur, zoyche v'roya b'necho matzibur, he merits seeing the salvation and the consolation of the public. V'shemo yoimar odo, mi may it be, someone might say, well, who's going to testify? So if I go home and eat and drink, is anyone going to testify against me that I'm parting from the community? So to this we answer. There's several answers. We have them marked off with a volcano shape, and on the side we have a nosei mivne heading. This is a hemshech, a continuation of the topic. Tshuvos la'sheila. The volcano shape introduces answers to the question. Shishal mi shepersh me'atzibor umisaneg b'shas sorosam. He who separates himself from the trouble of the community and enjoys himself when they are suffering. Me may it be. That's the question he might ask. Who's going to testify about me, about my behavior, my separation behavior? So as we said, we turn back to the Gemara, we see a series of answers. Number one, Avnei Beisoi Shalodam V'Kuroi Beisoi Shalodam Eden Bo. To continue the analogy, the fellow is going to go home into the privacy of his home and eat, drink, and be merry while everyone else is suffering. So we are telling you that the stones of his house and the beams of his house will testify against him, testifying regarding this person as someone who was poresh min hatzibor, that's separated from the community, and therefore he does not merit to see the salvation when it comes. Shenema, the pasuk says, ki even mikir tizok v'chofis me'etz ya'anena. The a chofis that's in this pasuk is a type of brick. It's a half a brick, but for our purposes, you see the construction materials that are used in making a house: an evin, a chofis, an eitz. Eitz is the wood, the beams. They will ya'aneno. They will testify. Debei Rabbi Shilo Amri, in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shilo, they teach shnei malachei ashoris hamalavin lo la'odom hein me'eden love. The two service angels that accompany a person will testify against him. And in fact, we saw this before. We have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, and you can see where this was earlier mentioned, that the angels that accompany a person on an ongoing basis, they will testify against him. Shenemar ki malachov yitzav eloch, the angels that accompany you will testify. Rabbi Chidka omer nishmosay shel odom hi me'ida olav. Rabbi Chidka tells us that a person's soul will testify. Shenemar mi shocheves chekecha shmor pischei picha, from that which dwells within you, your soul, be very careful. V'yeshomrim evorav shel adam eidem bo. Another approach says that a person's limbs testify about him. Shenemar atem edai ne'um Hashem. You, in the plural, are my witnesses, referring to a person's limbs. The pasuk says kel emuno v'yein ovel, and now the Gemara will be darshaning this pasuk. This pasuk you find in toward the end of Sefer Dvarim, Kel Emuna Keshem Shenifroim Min Roshoim LoIlam Haba. The Almighty is one a trustworthy Almighty. He deals justly and faithfully. And how does that manifest itself? Just as there is punishment from the wicked in the future, Afilu Al Aveiro Kalo Shoisin, even on a small offense, there a person is held accountable. Kach nifroim and atzadik b'lamazel al afeiro kala shoisim. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish the righteous for even a minor offense that they do, and their punishment is in this world. The idea here is that when it comes to the wicked, they might have it good in this world, and that's what we're going to see in the next statement. When it comes to their punishments, all their punishments are saved up, so to speak, for the world to come. And then the opposite is the case with the righteous, that all of their punishments are exacted in this world, so that in the eternal world, the world to come, the eternal world, the eternal existence, they have it all good. So far we've looked at we'll call it the negative, the nifroyin, the punishment, and now the ein ovel. The Almighty there is no contortion of justice. So far we said he is a faithful judge, and he's ein ovel, no misjudgment, no contortion. Kishem she mishalmin schar litzadikim lo'ilam haba afilu al mitzvah kala she'osim, just like the righteous receive reward in the world to come, even on the smallest mitzvahs that they perform. Kach mishalmin schar l'rishoyim b'olam hazeh, so to the wicked receive reward in this world, afilu al mitzvah kala shoisim, even for the smallest mitzvah that they might have performed, all of their reward is granted in this temporal, fleeting world that we refer to as Olam Hazeh. Tzadik v'yoshar hu. This again is a quote from the pasuk that we started from Dvarim Lamed Beis. The Almighty is tzadik v'yoshar melame. This teaches us shivashas p'tirasu shel adam lebeis olamo, that when a person dies to his place in the future world, kol maisav niftorin nifratin lefonav. Nifratin prat is the shoresh, the root of that word. The all of a person's actions are delineated, are shown to him. There's a rapid video presentation of a person's life, showing all of his actions. The oimrim lo kach v'kach hasisa b'mokum ploni b'yom ploni, and they tell the person who just died. They say, thusly you did in such and such a place on such and such date. The hu oimer hein, and he says yes. There he is. He's seeing his life's movie played out in front of him. The oimrim lo chasom, and then he's told sign. The chosem, and he signs, yes, this is my life, and these are all of my actions. Shenemar, and it says, as it says in the pasuk, biad kol odom yachtoim. So it says in the pasuk that every man signs. Veloyoid elo shematzdik olov eshadin. Not only that, but the person acknowledges the judgment that is given to him. Veoimer lohem yofed dantuni, and he announces to the heavenly court, I have been judged properly. L'kayim ha-shinemar, to fulfill that which it says in the pasuk, l'man titzdak b'dovrecha. That's a fulfillment of what we just said, or the pasuk, the source of that which we just said, that a person acknowledges that which he is judged. Now, we continue with a new marking, and this is a new topic. Topic heading on the side with the Mivneh notes, the triangle marking, introduces Deos al mi sheyoshev betainus. This is a series of opinions or descriptions of someone who accepts upon himself fasting. Omar Shmuel called Yoshev betainus someone who accepts upon himself a personal fast. Nikro Choite is called a sinner. Let's just skip down to get a flavor of the sugya. You have Shmuel calling him a sinner. We dashed underline Nikro Choite. We have Reb Elozer saying Nikro Kadosh. And so you see him a couple lines later. He's called holy. Quite an opposite approach to that which Shmuel is taking, who calls him a sinner. And on the upper part of Omid Beis, you'll see Reish Lakish that says Nikro Chosid. He's called pious. So now, Shmuel, what does he say? Anyone who accepts upon himself a personal type fast is a sinner. Sovar ki hai tano desanu. He holds like the following tana. The tana is Reb Elozer HaKapor Beribi, the great Reb Elozer HaKapor. What does he say? Reb Elozer HaKapor Beribi Oimer. Ma Talmud Loimar. What is the meaning of the pasuk? We should point out, at this point, we'll say parenthetically, but later it becomes of central importance. This pasuk is in the context of a nazir that became tomei. Now, a nazir is someone who accepts upon himself restrictions of, as far as consumption is concerned, of wine or grape products. Grape products, including wine, is something that a nazir abstains from through a nazir vow. In addition to that, there are other halachas that apply that he is not allowed to become defiled to the dead. And in the event that he does become defiled to the dead, he has to bring sacrifices and restart his Nazirite counting, his Nazirite-ship. So Reb Elozer HaKapor Beribi says, Ma Talmud Lomar V'chiper Olov Me'asher Choto Al HaNefesh. Rashi takes the word nefesh to mean as if he murdered someone. Who did he kill? What sin? We're talking about a nazir. Ela, so why is he called a chota al hanefesh? Why? Ela shetzir atzmoi min hayayin. He's called a sinner because he restricted himself from wine. V'halo dvorim kal v'chomer. Now, using this information, we can achieve through kal v'chomer logic, the following. Uma ze shelo tzir atzma elu min hayayin ikrochote. Mind you, someone who restricts himself from wine is called a sinner. It's only one food product, and he's considered a sinner. Hametzair atzmo mikol dover v'dover achas kama v'kama. Someone who restricts himself from all foods through fasting, all the more so he is considered a sinner. Hence, Shmuel adopts the approach of Reb Elazar HaKapor, concluding that one who accepts upon himself a personal fast is considered a sinner. Reb Elazar Omer Nikro Kadosh. Here we have another Amoraic opinion. He says he's considered holy. Shinemar Kadosh Yeh Gadel Peras Se'ar Roishoi. This is, again, in the context of a nozir. And what does the pasuk say? It says kadoshia. He's considered holy. Umaze shalotzir atzma elo midover echad nikro kadosh. Mind you, someone who restricted himself only from grape products is called holy. Hametzair atzmoi mikol dover al achas kamo vekamo. Someone who restricts himself from more things, from all food, all the more so. Now, the Gemara, in its characteristic style, goes back and forth. What does each one say about the other one's sources? Ula Shmuel ha ikri kadosh. According to Shmuel, does he not note that the pasuk calls him holy? So the Gemara says that is not a reference to the Nozir. That's hahu agidol pera koi. That is a reference to gidol pera, the hair of the Nozir. Part of the Nozir process is that he is forbidden in taking a haircut for the period of his Nazirus, his Nazirite-ship, and at the conclusion of the Nazirus, his hair is cut and is then placed in the Azora, in the fire that's under the pot that's cooking up the korban. Anyway, that hair is osur behana. One cannot benefit from it, and that's why it's called kadosh. Something that's been sanctified is something that is forbidden in personal benefit. So the Nozir's hair is also in personal benefit. That's what the word kadosh is going on, but not going on the Nozir himself who restricted himself from the wine or the grape products. Ula Reb Elazar, the Gemara now turns to Reb Elazar, Honikra Chote. Does Reb Elazar not acknowledge the pasuk that says that he is a sinner? We saw before the pasuk V'chiper Olav Me'asher Chotal Nefesh. So the Reb Elazar answers, Hahu, that pasuk Disoyev Nafshe. Soyev means Tomei. He became defiled. He violated the rules of Nazirus. By becoming defiled, he has performed committed a sin. He sinned against Nazirus by becoming defiled. So in that context, he's considered having done a sin. But the basic restriction from drinking wine, for that he's not considered a sinner. Question, Umi Omer Reb Elazar Hachi, would Reb Elazar have said that someone who fasts is considered kadosh? Ve'omar Reb Elazar, li'oilom yomud adam atzmo, a person should always measure himself, calculate. Yomud, from the word mad or mida, has to do with calculating or measuring. A person should make self-estimation. Ki'ilu, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, ki'ilu kadosh shorui besoch me'av. In other words, before a person fasts, he should consider what his physical capabilities are, and view himself as if holiness is in his midst, in his intestines, his mayav, his inner organs. Shnemar bekir becha kadosh v'loy avoy bo'ir. So if a person is supposed to view himself as if his body is filled with holiness, so it would be forbidden to weaken oneself through fasting. So how can Reb Elazar be reported as having said that one who fasts is considered holy? So the Gemara answers, Loi Kashya. There is no contradiction here. Ha de motzi utzurei nafshe, ha de lo motzi utzurei nafshe. It depends. if he's motzi, if he's capable of litzurei nafshei, of the self-imposed restriction of eating, then he is called holy. If he's lo motzi litzurei nafshei, then he would be considered a sinner. And now this brings us to the third opinion on one who fasts. Reish Lakish Omar Nikro Chosid, he's considered a chosid, a pious individual. Shenemar, Goimel Nafshoi Ish Chesed V'Oicher She'ero Achzori. The Goimel Nafsho is one who removes himself from something. Rashi cites a pasuk dealing with Yitzchok being weaned away from his mother, from Sarah, while she was nursing him, being weaned away from, that's gomel. So he weans himself away from food. He is considered a chosid. We're going to go through a few lines of Gemara now, till the two dots, and we're going to read the Gemara text as we have it. But I want to point out that the Bach in Ois Aleph, he changes the order of the drushes. And personally, I think that the Bach's order makes more sense. It's more appealing in the logical structure, if you look in the Bach. We continue, but in the Gemara as we have it. Omer of Sheshes, hi. And we do point out on the side, we have a topic heading, Memros Pe'inyan Yeshiva Betayis. We'll see a few Amoraic statements regarding one who observes fasting. Again, personal fasting. Omar of Sheshes, hi bar beirav, the Yosef Batanisa, a yeshiva student, a person who learns Torah, who sits in fasting, who fasts. Lechu kalbo l'sheirusi, let a dog eat his meal. You get the sense here that he has a rather negative attitude toward a person who's involved in Torah study and is fasting. So Rashi explains, Sheirusei sudasai, kalbo lechu sudasai, let a dog eat his meal. Lekach hamisane eno mo'il lo, elo kamisha misane mipnei she'en lo ma yochal. Someone who is engaged in Torah study, who accepts upon himself fasting, so it should be pointed out that it's going to diminish his actual capabilities in learning when one is famished, so he doesn't learn Torah as well, and therefore it is of no value. Whatever value there might be in fasting is lost on his decreased Torah learning, and it's no better than one who isn't eating simply because he doesn't have any food. Omar Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba, Ein Tainas Tzibur Bebovel Elatisha Be'ov Bilvad. Tainas Tzibur that's referred to over here means public fasting that we'll see in our Masichta here in this Masichta Tainas. There are public fastings that are of a 24-hour nature that resemble Tisha B'Av. So Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba says that in Bovel, they do not observe fasts like that, the 24-hour fasts that also have practices that are characteristic of mourning, like you have on Tisha B'Av, no shoe wearing, no malacha, no intimacy with one's wife, no smearing of oils, of course, no eating and drinking. So we mentioned malacha, we should say that that has its own standards, but the spirit of Tisha B'Av, at least, is one should restrict himself from malachas, even though it's not the same as Yom Kippur, of course, but of the other restrictions we mentioned are certainly binding when it comes to Tisha B'Av. So Rav Yirmiya is telling us in Bovel, they will not observe fasts like that. The Tosfos adds that's because in there was an ample water supply in Bovel. The Tosfos says shehoylem harbe gishamim. We saw other Gemaras that talk about Bovel being low lying, so that even if there's no rain per se, the whatever rain had accumulated had fallen in the surrounding places amasses in Bovel, being it's a low lying country. So there's no need for public fasting in Bovel, is what Tosfos is explaining. And Rashi adds, we're talking about the 24-hour type fast. The only time in Bovel that they would do that is on Tisha B'Av, which of course is not rain-related. The Omar Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba Omar Reish Lakish Ein Talmid Chacham Rashoi Leishev B'Tainis B'Tnei Shemimayit B'Meleches Shemayim. And this is what we had explained before when we were learning Rav Sheshes's law. And by the way, this is the point we were making earlier about the Bach's. The Bach reorders the Mamore Chazal over here, where Rav Sheshes's comment is attached to this comment made by Reish Lakish, that a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to observe personal fast because it reduces his Meleches Shamayim, his holy work, meaning his Torah study. The Gemara continues, Oichlin v'sheisim mishachashecha, the first three fasts that the Mishnah featured were fasts where eating can take place through the night, and fasting starts only at dawn. Amar bizira amar avhuna, Yochid Shekibel Olav Tainis, a person who accepted upon himself to fast, and his acceptance was from the day before, Afilu Ocha V'Shosa Kol HaLaila, even if throughout the night he eats and drinks, L'Mochar Hu Mispalo Tfilas Tainis, tomorrow, meaning from when tomorrow is the day he will be fasting during the daytime hours, so in the course of the day he will add into the Shemona Esrei Tefilas Tainis, which we call Anenu, the special passage that you can find in all prayer books and all Siddurim, the passage that one recites on a fast day. So a personal faster can say the Tefilas Anenu, even though after having accepted upon himself to fast, he was eating and drinking throughout the nighttime hours. The next day, from dawn onwards, that's the period of time he has to fast. Now, there's a second halacha of Rav Huna, number two, but before we go on in the Gemara, on the side we have a topic heading where we've written Diyun Bidvorav Shel Rav Huna. The Gemara will be expounding on this second point of Rav Huna. The halon betaniso, one who lon means he sleeps. In other words, we're going to be describing someone that had been fasting. He had accepted upon himself a regular fast day, and at the end of the day, he then went to sleep without having eaten. That's lon betaniso. He goes to sleep after a day of fasting, so he's continuing to fast throughout the night. Lamochar eno mispalel anenu. The next day, it appears from the Gemara that he's going to continue fasting through the next day. But nevertheless, he cannot say, he doesn't add the Anenu passage. Rav Huna's din leads us into another discussion called Tainis L'Shois. Now, that expression literally translates as fasting during hours. The Gemara itself is going to work through the sugya concerning Tainis L'Shos, and hopefully by the end of the sugya we'll have more clarity on what that is. So now we continue with number two in the Gemara, Rav Huna's second halacha, Lon B'Tanisoi L'Mochar Eino Mispalel Shel Tainis. Now we're going to have to work through the bulk of this sugya together with the Rashi. So we look at the Rashi, Lon B'Tanisoi, a few lines down from here, B'Oisoi Tainis Shekibo Olov, in that very fast that he had accepted upon himself, he goes to sleep, Shalocha B'Moisoi Taniso, he didn't eat at the conclusion of the fast day, V'Lon Koloisa Laila L'Shem Tainis, Anaboker, and he went to sleep with the intent of fasting till the morning. The Rashi continues, Lamochar ein mispalel tefilas tainis, einu yochel mispalel anenu, kodim shiyochal, kidei lotseis yidei choivas tainis shel laila. He cannot say the anenu passage before he eats the next day, so as to fulfill the obligations of his nighttime fast. Afapishu yoim echad, even though the next day is essentially a continuation of that night. Kidechtiv ayer vayiboker yom echad. Well, the common meforish, the Gemara later will explain. Meforish also will go and explain my kosov Rav Huna. What's behind Rav Huna? My taimo ein mispalu lamochar anenu. Why is it that the next day he doesn't say anenu? So now we turn back to the Gemara. Omar Rav Yosef, my kosovar Rav Huna. Rav Yosef, in trying to clarify the number two halacha of Rav Huna, what does Rav Huna hold? Misbar kosovar. Now, here you see the standard Gemara structure of two sides of the question. Aleph, and the next line, oy dilma, squiggle underline, bays. Two sides. Misbar kosovar ein misanin lishois. Does Rav Huna hold that there is no concept of fasting lishos, fasting 4 hours? Now, these terms are not clear. What we'll do at this point is look at some more commentaries. We have on our page, we've got the Rabbeinu Gershom as well as the Rabbeinu Hananel. The Rabbeinu Gershom is further down on the page to get a feeling of what these terms might mean. We look in first in the Rabbeinu Gershom, Mis'anin L'shois, Shemekablin Tainis B'yoim Afagav D'lo Kobil Olei Mi'urta. Mis'anin L'shois would refer to a case of someone who accepted upon himself fasting on the very day that he's fasting, whereby he didn't accept upon himself the fasting from the day before or from the night before. The Rabbeinu Hananel, we're going to look at the Rabbeinu Hananel. We've underlined a section toward the end of the Rabbeinu Hananel commentary, and we'll read, Umistabro demishin is damein lo v'lo ochal ad she'ova rov hayom. Someone who did not eat until he simply, without an acceptance prior, he didn't eat until most of the day went by, and he noticed he didn't eat most of the day. And since he noticed that, I haven't eaten since the beginning of the day, he then says, I'm going to finish off the day with fasting intention. So he has this formal fasting acceptance, but in the middle of the fasting, Zehu Tainis Shois. That is what the term Tainis Shois refers to. What we see between the Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rabbeinu Gershom, the Tainis Shois reflects a situation where there wasn't a formal acceptance of fasting from the day before, but rather in the midst of the fasting, that he just happened to have practiced without fasting intention, just as many people have busy work days and they don't have time to eat. And the Rabbeinu Hananel goes on, Umispalu boisusho shehiskim lashlim tainis shos tefilas tainis aneinu b'shmeyat tefila. V'davka achar shekibo olav le'atzmoi shemispalu tefilas tainis avol mikoidim loi. Rabbeinu Hananel adds, and of course this will be something that the Gemara will touch upon as we go on, that once there's a formal acceptance, even if it's in the middle of the day, in the middle of his fasting, from that point on it's considered an official personal fast, and that would give him license to say the Anenu prayer. We turn back to the Gemara, and Rav Yosef is asking the question, what is Rav Huna's stance? Now, Rav Huna ruled that lon betaniso lemocher enu mispalel shetaniso, the one who is, as we described, he went to sleep not having eaten, the next day he does not have a right to say Anenu. So Rav Yosef is asking, what does Rav Huna hold? Does he hold ein mis'anin l'shois, that which we've described till now simply is not called a tainus, and therefore you don't say anenu? Oidilmo kosovar mis'anin l'shois, or does he hold that one could say anenu, even if he didn't have a formal acceptance from the day before, but he did accept upon himself fasting in the middle of the day that he's currently fasting? In other words, it's not important enough a fast. It's considered a fast. And that the nafkamina is that if you found yourself not eating from the beginning of the day, and in the middle of the day decided, I'm going to finish off the day in a formal fast, that means you are not allowed to eat. It's a type of vow, however. It's not significant enough to warrant the recitation of the Aneinu passage. So to just go over the two sides, is it that the whole concept of Tainus Lashos doesn't exist in Rav Huna's mind, or it does exist, but it's not significant enough to warrant the recitation of Aneinu? Omar Abaye. So Abaye responds. Notice, be very careful in this Gemara, because Abaye responds in a way that is not like either one of the two possibilities that Rav Yosef presented. So Abaye says that as far as Rav Huna is concerned, in general, yes, Misanin Lishos, that type of partial fast really means where there was no formal acceptance from the day before, but in the midst of his fast, he decided to continue to the end of the day fasting. That is binding. Not only is it binding, but it's also significant. But as he says in his second point, the Misanin Lishos Mispal Tfilas Aneinu, that one who does fast like that, in fact, does Tfilas Aneinu. He recites that the fast day passage. It is significant. So then, what about Rav Huna's din over here? V'shaini hocha, the case of Rav Huna of long betaniso, de'ika shoyis de'leilya, the lokobil ole mi'ikora. Those night hours had no formal acceptance whatsoever. So that in order to justify tefillas tainis, there has to be some form of acceptance of a formal acceptance of fasting prior, so that from as far as the nighttime hours were concerned, there was no formal acceptance. Now, what we would like to do is to go through Rashi, that we'll see. We have a starred section of Rashi right after the Gemara text, right underneath the Gemara text. Pirush, my Kosova Rav Huna. So what Rashi does here is he goes through the two sides of the possibility, and then after that he presents Abaye. So we're going over now the Gemara with the Rashi. Pirush, my Kosova Rav Huna. Ein misanin lishois. Does Rav Huna hold that there is no tainus lishos klomar? Hi, the Komer Lemocher Ein Mispalot Tfilas Tainus, that which Rav Huna said, that the next day, after one had slept through in a non-eating state, the next day he doesn't say Aneinu, L'kachenu Mispalel. The reason is, the Kabbalas Tainus Zeh Eino Kabbalah, the Eino Tainus Klal, the acceptance of this kind of fast is not of any fasting significance. And if he wants to eat in the middle of such a fasting, he can do so. One doesn't accept tainus shos like this. Shalokibel tainus shel lailo ze me'esmol. He didn't accept upon the nighttime hours from the day before, from mincha, from the afternoon of the that preceded this night. Kiriktoni, lon betanis, the mashma me'elov. The word lon betanis, that expression means that it just happened on its own. Kishihichshich, when darkness fell, ubo lisoid, omad v'loachal, when the time came to eat, following his day of fasting, he just didn't eat. Klomar, shohoya bedaito lechol, he had in mind to eat after his day of fasting. Ad shovar mixes lailo shoachas or shtei shos, until he an hour or two of the night went by, he still hasn't eaten. Ve'chakach nimlech v'lon betanis, and then he decided, I'm going to go to sleep. So as we just described, you see there was no formal fasting acceptance regarding that those nighttime hours. So is that the point? Oy dilmo. Hi, the Komer of Huna, Lemocher Ein Mispalel Tfilas Tainus. That which Rav Huna said that there's no Aneinu recited the next day, Lav Mishum the Ein Misanin Lishois. Not because there isn't a concept of Misanin Lishois. the shame tainus alavi wrote to lachsibra v'lito machash yischa b'tainus eino yochol, that a tainus l'shois is something that you cannot renege on. That if after a couple of hours of fasting you then decided to continue the fast in the formal sense, you can't renege on that. Elo l'hochi enim espal tefilas tainus desover ein tainus shel shos choshev v'chomer kol kach shehet sof l'espal olav aneinu. Could very well be that he might hold that there is a concept of tainus l'shos, but it's not significant enough to warrant the recitation of aneinu. So those are the two sides as far as what Rav Yosef was wondering how to explain Rav Huna. Just to go over them again, either it's there is no, one doesn't accept upon himself a tainus l'shos, namely without a formal acceptance prior to the fasting. Any continued fasting without a formal acceptance prior to it is simply not binding, or it is binding even if there was no formal acceptance beforehand. However, it's not significant enough to warrant the recitation of the Aneinu passage in the Shmoyne Esrei. We continue with the Rashi. Le'olam kosavar ba'almo. In general, Abaye says, Rav Huna will tell you the Nisanin L'shos, that there is Tainus L'shos. The Nisanin L'shos mispal tefilas Tainus, and one who fasts in that fashion, where there was, again, we emphasize there was no formal acceptance prior to the fasting time, but in the midst of the fasting time, he did decide to fast. He is allowed to say the tefilas aneinu. The hocha my time when mispal tefilas tainus. The case of lon betanisa. Why is there no aneinu? The shiny hocha heichod sana esmo v'laylo lon betanisa de lo kibla. In this case, there was no acceptance of a tainus whatsoever. Even at night, he hadn't accepted upon himself to fast. Where there is no formal acceptance, so that is not a situation whereby he simply didn't eat. That's not enough of a reason to warrant the passage of Aneinu to be recited. So we turn back to the Gemara. Before we continue, we glance at the side, the Nosei Mivneh heading. We have a topic heading and structural note where we note Gimel She'elos Shinishal Mar Ukva. There were three questions, the first of which has relevance to our sugya, having to do with Tainus Shois. They were posed to Mar Ukva, the Al Kol Echod, Lo Hava Biyodeh. And each one of them, he didn't have a response. And you'll notice in our markings, we dashed underline that term, Lo Hava Biyodeh. Ad Shishua B'Beis HaMedesh, from Kibbutz Shuvos, until he refers these questions to the Beis Medesh, to the Torah Center, and where the Torah is studied. And there, in the Torah Center, they responded to each one of the questions. So now we have a long question marking incorporating the three questions. Mar Ukva ikla leginzak. Ginzak is the name of a place. So Mar Ukva went there, bo umine, and they asked of him, misanin l'shois oy ein misanin l'shois. The topic we just got finished discussing, is that considered a binding fast or not? Lo hava biyode, and he did not have a response. Another question. Kankanim shel nochrim. These are earthenware vessels owned by non-Jews that were used for wine storage. Now, non-Jewish wine, non-kosher wine, is wine that is made by non-Jews. That wine is forbidden for a Jew to drink. The barrels or the jugs that were holding this wine likewise are questionable. Of course, there's no wine in them, but they absorbed wine. What is their status? Asurim o mutorim. Is it allowed or not? Lo have biyode, and he had no answer for that. And number three, Bamesh shimesh moshe kol shivas yemei hamiluim. When the Mishkan was set up, the predecessor of the Beis Hamikdash, the precursor of the Beis Hamikdash, the Mishkan, the portable, was called in English, referred to as the tabernacles that accompanied the Jews in the desert and eventually made its way into Eretz Yisrael. When that was set up, there was 7 days of, we'll call it inaugural days or introductory days, which are called in the Gemara the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim, which led up till Aleph Nisan, when the Mishkan was formally put into service. So the 7 days leading up to that, service was done, sacrificial service was done by Moshe Rabbeinu. He functioned as the Kohen. He himself was not a Kohen. The Kohuna, the priesthood, originated with his brother Aharon. But during the 7 days leading up to the inauguration of the consecration of the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu served. Now, what clothing did he wear? Obviously, he didn't wear his daily clothing that he does his housework in. He must have worn something special. However, he did not wear the formal Kohen clothing that the Torah elaborates on quite a bit in Sefer Shmos. So he didn't wear formal Kohen clothing, nor did he wear his overalls, if you will. So what did he wear? Lo hava biyadei, and for this he also had no answer. And now the Gemara provides answers. Ozal v'shol bei midrasha, Marufa went and raised these questions in the Beis Medrash. Omru le, and they told him, Hilchasom is'anin l'shois, we rule that the type of tainus that we described as tainus l'shois is binding, umispalulin tefilas tainus, and it's significant enough to also warrant the recitation of the anenu. And as we saw earlier in the Rabbeinu Hananel, that a person who had experienced non-eating from the beginning of the day, and in the middle of the day he decided to fast, from that point on he can add in his Shmon Esrei, when he formally accepts, even though it's in the middle of the day, formally accepts to continue fasting the balance of the day, we call Shois, the remaining hours of the day, following a formal acceptance, he is entitled to say the passage of Anenu, Tfilas Tainis. Number two, V'hilchasol kankanim shel nochrim, the jugs that held the Gentile wine, that are of course empty now, can Jews use it? So they said, after 12 months of non-use, if they're set aside for 12 months, whatever wine taste may have been absorbed in them are gone, will have gone by that time. So 12 months is enough time, 12 months of non-use is enough time to then kosher that makes the vessels acceptable. B'ma shimesh Moshe kol zayin yemei hamiluim? What clothing did Moshe Rabbeinu wear when he was serving in a kohen capacity? B'cholok lavan, he wore a type of a white robe made of pishton, of linen, that was made for that purpose, for Moshe Rabbeinu's service as a kohen. Rav Kahana Masni, Rav Kahana, his version of this is Becholuk Lavon She'ein Loi Imra. It was a white garment that had no borders to it. And the reason for that is that no one should suspect him of going into the Mishkan where there was holy funds, people had dedicated money and what have you, and he would walk in to the Mishkan and then put into the fold in the garment, into the border, some cash and walk out with that, basically stealing in a stealthful fashion holy funds. Being that his garment was a smooth single piece garment without any seams or borders to it, he wouldn't be suspect of having done that. Before we go further, we have a structural note, you'll notice the double underline is used. These are Maimros Shel Rav Chisda. In the course of today's shiur, so we're going to learn the first Maimra, and the second Maimra will be left for the next shiur. But in the meantime, Omar Rav Chisda, we continue at the top of Yud Beis, Ha the Amris Misanin Lishois, that which we say that there is this idea of fasting for hours, V'hu Shelo To'am Klum Ad Ho'erev. This is true, provided he doesn't eat anything until the evening. This piece of Gemara is a bit vague. It would seem that what is being said, maybe to some, is obvious, and we're now going to continue with the Gemara with Abaye's question on this, and then the response, and eventually we'll go to the Rashi to get clarification. So in the meantime, Rav Chisda tells us that when we speak about Bimisan and Lishos, this is true provided you don't eat anything till the evening. Omar le Abaye, ha tainis mal yisahi. If you're describing someone that hasn't eaten all day and had accepted upon himself fasting, that's obvious. I don't need Rav Chisda to rule upon that. Lo tzricha. So what is necessary is de'imlich imluchi, where a person had experienced a change of mind. Now that's not clear yet, so let us look at the Rashi from at the top. Hal the Amris Misanin Lishos, Hu Shelo Toam Klum Kolos Yayom Kloimar. Loi Omru Bimisane She'ochal Boi Bayoim Kegoin Shehisri Lisanos Ad Chatzi Hayom V'Achakach Ochal. The idea of Misane Lishos was never said regarding case one of someone who started the day by fasting until noon, and then he ate. He ate after noon. That's not considered inui. That's not considered self-affliction. V'im ochal koidem chatzois, if you're going to describe someone that had eaten before noon, ein bekach klum, that's totally useless. The eno tainis shel klum, which I understand Rashi to be addressing in point number two, is that if someone had, let us say, eaten in the morning and then the balance of the day he observed fasting, that's also nothing. That's not self-affliction. That's not a tainis, which is understood to be sometimes self-imposed affliction. Elo. So when is a tainis a tainis? Kishehishlim kol hayoim. Not only did he not eat in the morning, but he didn't eat the rest of the day either. Afalpi shelo kibloi olov me'esmoil. Even though he hadn't had a formal tainis acceptance upon himself from the day before. That basically is the definition that we've been using more or less throughout our sukya. That's tainis shois. Uporach. Then Abaye asks, "I de kibel olav lisanois ad chatzi yoim v'hoder misane kol hayom." If someone had accepted upon himself to fast till noon, and then that very person finished off the day fasting, hai tanisum al yisa hu. That's a full-fledged tainis. You have almost all the elements over there. You've got a formal acceptance before the fasting period, albeit the fasting that he accepted upon himself was he's going to fast till noon, but he finished off the day without eating. Hai tanis samayasuhu, upshita the tainis gomuhu. That's an obvious, full-fledged tainis. Vafilus tainis dami mispalo love. And he's able even to say the tefillah's tainis. And I don't need a ruling about something like that. Is el tainis gomer? That's a full-fledged tainis. V'hain makshe sovar. Now, what makshe, I'm taking to mean Abaye, in asking his question, he had thought the high halacha misanin l'shois, that which we rule misanin l'shois, kim mashmo oi, as it is, the yochel isanois ad chatzi hayoim misane korino bay, that one who fasts till noon is considered a faster. So that's what Abaye thought was being taught. We continue with the Rashi. Klomar lo tzarichano demamlich imluchi. Klomar lo hoye bedaito klau lehisanois. What Misanin Lishos is coming to tell me is really someone who did not have in mind to fast at the outset. But rather, someone who, because of some type of preoccupation, he didn't eat till noon. He was busy in the morning. He didn't have time to eat breakfast. Noon arrived, and lo and behold, he hasn't eaten. At noon he then changed his mind, or he made a decision and said, since I haven't eaten since the morning, I'm going to fast the rest of the day. So when is there a formal acceptance? In the middle of the day. That's the case that we need to be told. Misanin l'shos, and you can even say Tfilas Anenu after that decision. We'll say that's the Chiddush. But the other case where he had formally accepted upon himself to fast till noon, and then from that point on continued not eating, that Abaye told us that would have been an obvious full-fledged fast, that I don't even need a Gemara ruling concerning that case. So as we've gone through this Gemara, we've seen a number of different scenarios of fasting where there wasn't formal acceptance for a full day fast from the afternoon before. In other words, there wasn't a Kabbalas Tainis from Mincha the day before. What is the law regarding fasting that takes place anyway? So we went through a number of different scenarios in our sugya. If one wants to be more thorough and clear about this, we would recommend, which we haven't done in the course of our shir, but to chart out the different cases and what the ruling is regarding each one of the different scenarios. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.